Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
It's going down right here.
What's going on, Fantasy Sports Today? Coming hot out the gate. Mike Bluett and Dane Martinez here every weekday on Fantasy Sports Today, get you caught up in all the news and notes, injuries, predictions, projections, and the whole boat for fantasy football. Obviously, very busy time of year. We're going to try to get through as much as we can like we did yesterday, touch on as many possible topics as we can. So I was listening to some of Roto Experts in the morning with Dane and Scott Engel. But now Dane's going to join me for this next hour as we lead into Carton and Friends. So thank you for joining us on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, on TuneIn Radio, on iHeartRadio, and a variety of terrestrial radio stations across the country. Thank you. So you can hit us up on Twitter at FNTSY Radio. I'm at Mike Bluett. Dane, as always, is at Spittin' Speed. So, Dane, first of all, how you doing, bud?
I'm doing all right. Feeling good. It's Thursday, and we got preseason dress rehearsals kicking off today. I am excited as Tim Tebow at a press conference.
Well, yeah, he's fired up. He always is. Ebullient and positive and wavering in his ultimate goal of becoming a low-grade Major League Baseball player. So my first thing I wanted to – look, this isn't always applicable to leagues, but I'm in a very intense, large dynasty league. This is its – I want to say it's its – eighth year, could be the seventh. I'd have to do the math, but let's just call it seventh year to be conservative about it. I've had a lot of success in this league, but it is 32 teams, 16 teams in each conference. Each roster is 45 men deep, and it's so it's, we're using individual
defensive players.
We're using individual defensive players. So you have to start 8 offensive players every week and 11 defensive players. We actually just got rid of kickers this year. It used to be 9 and 11. But so you're starting 19 guys each and every week. And obviously, it gets really deep. Now, of the 45, 5 of them can be a rookie-only taxi squad or practice squad, however you'd like to phrase it. And last night was the first waiver run of the year. You have a $1,000 fab budget, and that first waiver runs, and it's extremely active. In fact, Mike Florio, our former colleague here, you can find him on Twitter at, what is he, Michael F. Florio, I think, on Twitter. But in any event, he's really good for information and a friend of mine, and he's in this league too. He actually took over a team from Corey Parson. So I had to kind of coach him through exactly what was going to happen in this league. And I was like, you really need to get involved because his team isn't any good. Yeah, and his team isn't that good, so he's going to be rebuilding this dynasty team. I was like, you really need to get involved in this first waiver run. And while it isn't always applicable to the leagues that most of you will draft in, there are some little nuggets that you can see on the offensive side of the ball. Guys spending money on Chris Ivory, for example, and guys spending a lot of money on Jake Kumerow. And I know we talked about the wide receivers yesterday in Green Bay, but I think it is obviously in reaction, and it could have been an 11th hour reaction, to the story that Randall Cobb is possibly on the move. Now, that has been shot down, and obviously an $8.6 million price tag for a guy with the injury history that he has would be a tough guy to move. But Jake Kumerow is the guy that people chose to spend money on. We talked a little bit about Geronimo Allison, and we know about all of these wide receiver, these rookie wide receivers in Green Bay. And we talked about Moore, Jamon Moore yesterday, who's been struggling a bit in camp. But Jake Kumerow, now a guy whose name comes up and could be some sort of fantasy asset, at least in your deeper leagues.
I'm not with it. Mike, I'm not with it. I think, like you mentioned, Kumerow, he just happens to be the guy who popped. He's been like a DFS hero for the first 2 weeks of the preseason, right, with like a 70-yard touchdown and another big touchdown. Here's the deal for me. I want, like, he's not on my radar really at all. Mike, and here's why, okay? We talked about Adams, Cobb, and Allison. That's three already. Remember yesterday when we said that the Packers drafted not one, not two, but three rookie wide receivers? You got Kumerow is not even one of those three, okay? Right. It was Jamon Moore, it was like St. Brown, and it was Scantling. Like, these are the guys that they're actually taking the flyers on and that they were invested in. So Kumerow is like seventh on the depth chart, you know what I mean? And I don't see Davante Adams going anywhere as the number one for a while, you know? So to me, this doesn't really rate. And like you mentioned, people with their recency bias and looking for preseason stars, he's also doing this, you know, kind of, I saw in that the last game against Pittsburgh, which was something like a 51-37 final or something like that. He also did it in like the third quarter. So no, this doesn't rate for me. And I think this is a classic idea of overreacting to what you do see in preseason.
Yeah, and I think it's a little bit more of the Jeff Janis story that we were trying to tell for years and other guys in Green Bay, just trying to attach something to Aaron Rodgers. But I think I wanted to bring it up because I think it is interesting because of what you said, that recency bias and how people say, well, this could be a little bit of a sleeper. Yeah, but don't go out drafting guys that you hear talked about in deep expert leagues just because there could be a deep sleeper. In most of your leagues, you're not going to have to go all that deep. And don't dismiss guys that have maybe fallen a little bit in the rankings but are still draftable. You still want to go after guys like, let's say, on the running back side. No, we're barely talking about Gio Bernard, but there's going to be a point in your draft where Gio Bernard's got to go. Guy catches enough passes, and the offense might stink, and maybe Mixon is the number one, but Gio Bernard's a guy that you should draft and is going to have value. By the way, he had more value than Joe Mixon just a year ago. I understand that the tables will turn, but nonetheless, he's a guy that needs to have value. So beyond that, the only offensive player, well, I had to pick up some backup quarterbacks and all that kind of stuff because in a 16-team league, when somebody goes down, like you're
there's only 32 starters in the NFL. So
I backed up Phil Rivers with Geno Smith, and I backed up Blake Bortles with Cody Kessler. It took me a total of $9 between the two. So beyond that, the only other player that I picked up, because there are guys, look, when there are injuries in a 16-team league, other guys just step up. And Chester Rogers was the one guy that I ended up adding for about $25. I'm not bought up in the hype of him catching a whole bunch of passes the other night at Baltimore. I'm just there because right now on that depth chart, he's third. You know, if you Ryan Grant, Chester Rogers, I'm not super excited, but at some point, you know, if Chester Rogers caught 50 passes, it wouldn't totally stun me.
Yeah, and here's the other thing. T.Y. Hilton is still nursing an injury.
That's
you know what I mean? So there's another complication there. I mean, we've been talking about who's going to be this number two for Indianapolis, and in all likelihood, to be quite honest, it'll probably be Jack Doyle, if you want to know the truth. But, you know, T.Y. Hilton has been banged up as well. He's a little bit of a smaller guy. So, you know, going for the depth in Indianapolis, because you know Andrew Luck is going to sling it. So I like that. I wanted to ask you, in a league like this, what's the market for a guy like Teddy Bridgewater?
It's a good question. I would have to look, but I would I would guarantee he's already owned.
Already on a team, right?
Yeah, and then he would likely be moved if somebody is really hurting at quarterback. Now, the teams that are quote unquote hurting at quarterback almost all have, I mean, I would guarantee they have a starting quarterback in the league already, but are maybe rolling with one. I think there's a guy out there that from what I remember looking at the rosters that has just one quarterback on his roster. And it's a starting QB. It might be somebody like Case Keenum, but he may be the guy that would move for Teddy Bridgewater. What I'm trying to do, I'm in a world of hurt at running back. My defense is really good. I have pretty good depth at wide receiver. Mike Crabtree and Jerron Brown, who could see some looks, but I also have Doug Baldwin. And I'm adequate at wide receiver, not great, but I'm hurting at running back. I'm going into the season with Ronald Jones, a suspended Mark Ingram, and like Mike Gillisley. So that's where I'm at. And that I have not picked at the top of the draft basically since we started it 7 years ago. I've won the whole thing twice, which is a hard thing to do. But, you know, as dynasty leagues, as in real leagues, like you got to be rebuilding. And I've gotten caught on the bad side of running backs. I'm working on trades actively to try to alleviate that problem.
Fair enough. And let me throw out another consideration for these deep leagues or dynasty leagues, something that I've been successful with in the past. People think about like, oh, who are the handcuffs and blah, 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 that sort of thing. Let me tell you something. You know where I always go? I always go, there's a great website out there called SportTrack, which is all about like the contracts of people and the free agent pools and stuff like that. In long-term dynasty leagues and deep leagues, that is where I look. I look at who is going to be an impending free agent, and I try to predict some player movement. Let me give you a perfect example. Last year in a dynasty league, right? Albeit I did have Zach Ertz, and that helped me. But I made sure to get Trey Burton. Why? Because I knew he was going to be a free agent, and he was going to be a starting tight end in the league the following year, right? So I look for situations like that. I did it when with a league that deep that you're describing, I have a similar one. I did it the year before. Jameis Winston, you know, was coming in, obviously, in Tampa. You know what I did? I went out and I stashed Mike Glennon because I knew he was going to be a free agent and maybe a starter the following year. Then again, of course, the Bears went out and drafted Trubisky, you know. But I look at the free agent contracts and kind of anticipating player movement. And one name to give you in that scenario right now that I absolutely love, Mike, is Courtland Sutton, the wide receiver from the Denver Broncos, who's getting a ton of praise right now. A lot of people thought he might have been one of the best wide receivers quality-wise in this draft. I believe he's out of SMU. But the important thing to note is in Denver, Mike, I believe both Demaryius Thomas and Manny Sanders are in the last year of their deal, or at least the second to last year of their deal. So that means to me there's a great opportunity for this guy to ascend and be, you know, the top wide receiver next year, you know, and he's the same kind of frame as a Demaryius Thomas to be that big X kind of wide receiver. So I also look at things like that, trying to anticipate free agency the following year.
Yeah, I'll give you my thoughts on that in 1 second. But first, get your season ticket to Fantasy Glory now with the 2018 Roto Experts exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. It's not just a draft kit. It is a full season package that takes you from draft day to championship week. And it features in-depth analysis from some of your favorite fantasy sports radio experts. So go to rotoexperts.com. Use code WINNER to get 10% off on the exclusive Edge package and set aside a spot on the mantle for that 2018 championship trophy. So here's what we'll do. We'll spend a lot more time on the keeper stuff tomorrow. Dane and I will get into it after we talk Eagles-Browns. But the one name I'll throw out to you now, I may have already done it on this show, I've certainly done it on others, is you need to be aware that if you're in a league where you can hold guys over, depending on the round penalty, you need to be looking at Tevin Coleman. Tevin Coleman's a free agent at the end of this year. Falcons are not going to be keeping him. They are already all in on Devontae Freeman, barring some sort of significant injury again, particularly a concussion.
Right.
And Tevin Coleman will be a starting running back on another team next year. I would predict that now with basic certainty. It doesn't happen that often. Right. That a guy moves teams and he becomes the starting running back. We saw it with Lamar Miller in Houston with varying success, moderate to mild success. But
Jerick Tevin McKinnon Coleman maybe could, this year?
That's right. We could see it next year. Like Tevin Coleman is this year's Jerick McKinnon. And we probably wouldn't have said that a year ago, actually, about McKinnon, that we could see him getting the starting job, getting a whole bunch of money. San Francisco had a lot of money to throw around, so be it. And there are teams that will throw money around next year. The Jets have Isaiah Crowell and a couple of other guys, but they aren't huge commitments. So maybe the Jets work on somebody like Tevin Coleman. It's very hypothetical right now. There's a long way to go. But I'm just telling you, I'm in a league with keepers, which I have to announce those in the next 3 hours. And somebody didn't keep Tom Brady, so now I'm thinking about not keeping Matt Ryan. Like, this is why I wait to the deadline on this kind of stuff, but I digress.
Right.
I am targeting Tevin Coleman hard in that league, and I'm hoping to get him in the fifth round, because I will keep him next year in the second round. I can't. Now, if I have to draft him in the fourth round, I'm out, because he's not going to be a first-round pick next year. But similar to McKinnon, he could be a second-round pick. So Tevin Coleman is that guy, and Dane and I will spend a lot more time on it next week. So speaking of rushing attacks, this Travis Frederick news isn't great. He's dealing with Guillain-Barré syndrome. It's creating he's symptomatic right now, and it could create a situation where he is out, certainly for week one and possibly multiple weeks as they're dealing with trying to treat this condition. But now they have another Pro Bowler down, and it worries me about this offensive line.
Yeah.
Zach Martin's been banged up. They expect him to be back for week one. Tyron Smith is healthy, but now Frederick is out. And now this number one offensive line may not be that anymore.
Yeah, and here's the thing also, Blewett. Everyone has this vision of the Cowboys as like this dominant offensive line. That was not the case, okay, last year.
Not last year.
You know, similar to – oh, it's 2 years ago. 2 years ago.
Okay, yeah, I'm saying not last year. Like they weren't,
Right. Similar to like – I guess the reference I'd make on the defensive side is similar to like the Seattle Seahawks, right? They've gone from being like this number one, number top three defense to like good, but not great, right? Maybe still a top 10, but on the 5 through 10 kind of idea. And that does have implications. Listen, Zeke Elliott is still a number one pick. Zeke Elliott, I still think, will lead the NFL in rushing yards, if you want to know the truth, and carries. So that's not the impact. I think this could have an interesting impact on Dak. Could you see Blewett, him scrambling a little bit more and it actually being a help to his rushing potential for a guy like Dak Prescott if he's got a, you know, get out of Dodge a little bit quickly because of the offensive line?
Yeah, I don't think that's a crazy leap at all, but it worries me just because I don't want him to be that guy. I want to see how good Dak can be when he's just got to hang in there and there's a little bit of pressure, and how good can he be? It's why people, I think a lot of analysts are sort of down on Dak. They're not a believer that he can do that, that he's just going to be handing the ball off and he's not going to be particularly dynamic in the passing game. But we've talked a little bit, too, about people stacking the box on Dallas, and that should open things up for Dak. But it is also tied to the fact that people think that the wide receiving core might be the worst in the whole league. Whether you, it doesn't matter whether you're a believer in Michael Gallup or Cole Beasley or Allen Hurns or anybody else. Like collectively, it's not an impressive group.
Yeah, I mean, I would put up Dallas and potentially Buffalo as the two worst kind of wide receiver groups, in my opinion, at least, in the NFL. But I think, listen, Dallas is going to be very, very interesting because there's also the school of thought. I've made this point a lot of times as it related to Matthew Stafford. Mike, you know, when he lost Megatron, he became a better quarterback because he got to be able to do what all the great quarterbacks do, read the mail, you know, and go where the defense dictates. And I think there is a chance where now a lot of people are saying, oh, he doesn't have all these dynamic playmakers. I think there's a chance that Dak can then just like trust his reads a little bit more, spread the ball around. And, you know, that's the flip side of him maybe actually, you know, maybe being helped out by this. But yeah, I mean, between Dallas, maybe the Bills, maybe the Colts, who we've talked about, are some of the worst wide receiver groups in the NFL this year.
At least the Colts have a standout. Now, granted, he needs to get back, but at least we have a standout and a guy that's performing.
What about the Cardinals without Fitzgerald?
Whew, that would be brutal.
You know, if you take that same idea that Fitzy, but the Cardinals are a kind of bad group as well, although Christian Kirk has flashed a little bit in the preseason.
Yeah, so but Kirk would be comparable to Gallup in that regard, right? And then you're working with J.J. Nelson and Bryce Butler and Chad Williams. So it's like it's
no great shit.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right, we're going to come back. We'll talk a little bit more about some news and notes. We'll get into player props again in the third segment. If you want to give us a call, do so right around 8:40. It's Mike and Dane on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It's FST. We'll be right back.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Conversation continued all the way through the break. Dean and I just firing out players.
That's
good
right.
Times. We know you got drafts coming up, so we're chatting just like you guys are about players. And
because we're co-owning a team, Mike.
That's right.
We're co-owning a team. We gotta get on the same page. Yeah.
Yeah. High stakes league. We have the 8th pick, right? And it's a PPR league?
Yep.
So we got to figure this out. So why don't we do it right now? Let's just do that coming out of the break. Let me do the read first.
Okay.
And then you prep yourself.
Sure.
You prep yourself while I'm doing this read. Because I want you.
For the eighth pick, I'm ready.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And I'll announce it, and you can select it, and I'm going to argue with you. DailyRoto.com is putting more than $25,000 on the line for its subscribers this NFL season, entering paid contests on FanDuel and bringing you along for the free roll. So I have the chance to win big this year along Sports Grid CEO Jeremy Stein. Very nice gentleman, in my opinion. One of the only men to have won two separate $1 million prizes. Each week, we'll select lucky subscribers to sweat with us and split 50% of the profits. No profits that week, no worries. Your name will get tossed back into the hat the following week. So head to dailyroto.com/sweat and learn how to get in on the action and your share of $25,000 in action. That's dailyroto.com/sweat. Again, hit us up on Twitter at FNTSY Radio. I'm at Mike Blewett. Dane is at Spittin' Speeds. And give us a call. For the next segment, 844-843-6879, we'll be doing player props and maybe some other fun stuff as well. So, in the new the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Yeah.
Carton and Friends. Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Carton and Friends, high stakes draft with the eighth pick of the first round. And I heard Michelle Serpico trying to pull this off yesterday. She couldn't do it. But with the eighth pick of the first round, in the draft, the Mike Blewett, Dane Martinez team selects.
Who I think we're going to wind up with?
Yeah, dude, just say the player that you think. I told you, say the player and I'll argue with you.
Alvin Kamara.
All right, I like it. I'm not going to argue. I like it. If we get him eight, I'm good. I'm good.
So here's the way I think it goes down. Here's the way I think it goes down. All right. I think the top four running backs will be gone. You know, the Gurley's, the Bell's, the Zeke Elliott's, the David Johnson. Antonio Brown will be gone. Okay? Yes. Antonio Brown will be gone. Okay, then, so then we're at pick six, right? And then you got six and seven and then us, right?
Yes.
I think the next three picks there are Saquon Barkley, Alvin Kamara, and DeAndre Hopkins. Okay, because it's a PPR league, I think someone's going to grab DeAndre Hopkins before us. And then I think we are going to have our choice of whoever's left there, Saquon Barkley or Alvin Kamara. And because we are going to be in Studio 34 in Midtown Manhattan, I think there's going to be a Giants fan out there that goes ahead and takes Barkley. I think we're going to be staring at Alvin Kamara. Now, the problem for me comes with
what about
Mike,
Fournette?
Will
be there too, obviously. Fournette's one of the guys.
Where I wanted to go with you. That's where I wanted to go with you, okay? Because I'm doing the one assumption that I just made that may be incorrect is around DeAndre Hopkins. Okay. Hopkins may not have been drafted. So there's a universe there where Barkley and Kamara are gone at six and seven, let's say, right? And then let's say D-Hop is still there and we're staring at these other running backs that are right below him. Okay. Because I kind of want to get a bell cow. I would also eschew DeAndre Hopkins if he was sitting there because of, you know, I want these bell cow backs. So to me, the next three that I would have in this group, you mentioned Leonard Fournette. I would also like to submit Melvin Gordon and potentially Kareem Hunt. So if we're faced with that decision, where would you go, or would you snap up DeAndre Hopkins?
I would go for
I like Melvin Gordon a lot, Mike. I like Melvin Gordon a lot.
He hooked me up last year in a couple of leagues. I do like Gordon.
You know, if we're staring there and there's no
Kamara,
there's no Barkley.
I feel like I got to get a share of Fournette or Hopkins this year.
Okay.
I just think
Hopkins. Okay, so if we're faced with that, you like Fournette over Gordon?
They're not going to be able to run the ball. He's going to see like 175 targets again, and he's great. So
yeah,
he's pretty bankable in that regard. And Fournette, it's a PPR league, so it takes some of the juice out of it. But second year in the league, like Melvin Gordon struggled as a rookie too. Fournette didn't struggle last year by any means, but he missed a couple of games. He got a stupid suspension. And they're going to rely.
They're saying they
want to
get Gordon involved in the passing game a little bit more. They want to get Gordon in the passing game a little bit more.
Why would they? They just they have a first-round talent wide receiver that they need to get involved. Like, why would they really have an uptick of catches to him? Is it because Hunter Henry is out? That makes sense. But they need to get Mike Williams
involved. Well, it's just like the natural progression.
I guess, but.
So you like Fournette in that situation? If we're drafting at eight and the running backs are gone and we're staring at guys like Gordon, Fournette, and D-Hop, it sounds like we're down to these three, right? These are our options.
Yes. Yes, I think so.
I think those are going to be the real options, by the way.
I don't think Kamara will.
Fair enough. You think Kamara will go before DeAndre Hopkins? That's fine. Yeah, if Kamara's there, we'll take him. If Barkley's there, we'll take him. But what I want to do is we got to work this out because we're co-managing, and I feel some pressure, Mike, because you're going to not be there in person. So I don't want to do you wrong. You know what I mean? I want to lobby for you, because I get to blame you for all the mistakes. That's right. That's right. Exactly. So here's the thing, though.
He didn't consult me on that fourth pick.
I want to go running back in that situation because I think you and I are smart enough to get these wide receivers, you know, rounds 3, 4, and 5, something like that, that we really like, that we'll be okay with. Okay?
Yeah. So I'm good with that. I get it.
Okay. So what do you think? Fournette or Gordon? You lean towards Fournette, huh?
I think right now I'm leaning towards Fournette, but I can be swayed. I got no issues with Melvin Gordon. It's, you know,
if we wind up with Gordon
in the first round, we're splitting hairs, you know?
Yeah, I know. And both of these guys are going to wind up with, you know, 1,100 yards. So it'll be just fine. All right. And then here's the other thing. We talked about these wide receivers that may be facing us on the comeback in round two. You know, this group, I think we've talked about them a little bit before, but when I'm talking about like Keenan Allen, Davante Adams, Michael Thomas, AJ Green, you know, where are you on those guys? I told you how much I love Davante Adams, but where are you on that group? Because that's what I would see as kind of the wide receivers, maybe on the comeback in round two, or
yeah, Julio will be gone.
Yeah, you got to think that Odell will be gone, right? So I think we're staring at potentially Allen, Adams, Green, and Thomas. Or what if we also have the opportunity for a guy like a Dalvin Cook or a Christian McCaffrey or a Joe Mixon on the comeback?
Pretty interesting. If you're of that whole group, I think Michael Thomas will be gone just based on the talk that I've heard from our other hosts on this network. I think Thomas is gone.
Let's say it's like Adams or CMC. Okay, so you like Thomas.
CMC.
Let's say we're faced with you like CMC, right? He's going to catch like 80, 85 balls, right?
That's right. That's right. As a running
So we like him. Yeah, we like him even over, say, A.J. Green, Davante Adams?
Yes.
I mean, if we wind up with, you know, blew it. If we wind up with Leonard Fournette and Christian McCaffrey,
or
I love
Gordon
it.
And McCaffrey. It's amazing.
Gordon and McCaffrey, I love it, right? And then I'll hammer the wide receiver positions. You know, we'll wind up with, you know, Allen Robinson, Jarvis Landry, you know, something like that. Stephon Diggs, something like that. And we'll be happy, right?
Yeah, 9, 10, 11.
And you and I both agree.
13, 14, 15,
we're going to wait on tight end. We're going to wait on quarterback. And we're going to be good to go.
Yes.
And we're going to be good to go.
Those
and
first
like,
six
if we double,
rounds,
if we do that. Yeah.
Those first six rounds are running backs and wide receivers. If
Absolutely.
You got a crazy value for Kelce.
Right. I wouldn't even do it for Gronk because I'm worried about the injury history. I'm worried about the injury history. I'm not going to spend that draft capital and then have my guy be out for 7 games because of a back.
Totally agree. Totally agree.
Okay. Kelce's the only tight end in that top 3 I would do. Right.
You're not going to get a crazy value for him because he'll go in the top 24 picks. So, Kelce, if you got a crazy value, Ertz, I'll listen. But I think from what I've seen, Kelce and Ertz are going pretty early. So, I don't want either of those guys in the first 4 rounds. If it got to the point where Kelce was in the, you know, we're drafting in the early to mid 4th and Kelce's still there, you can think about it. And if Ertz is there in the 6th round, I'd think about that. Even the 5th round, I'd think about it. I have to see. You're going to see the board better than I am, obviously.
Sure.
So I'm going to follow.
But it sounds like we're on the same page.
Yes.
It sounds like we're on the same page. It looks like we have our targets, although remember, and this is, you know, Mike, I hear this all the time on my Twitter feed. People are like, who should I target in round 3? And I'm like, well, I don't know. It depends on the first 31 picks and who's left. You know what I mean? So none of this is written in pen, but we're sort of like, you know, getting our approach down, especially, Mike, since I know we will not be side by side on Sunday when drafting. But it looks like we're in a good spot to get like 2 really good running backs. Mike, how are you on Joe Mixon? Are you high on Joe Mixon? Because I love Mixon this year.
I hated him last year because I knew that offensive line was going to be
offensive line is much better.
It is better. Much might be overstating it, but it's better. They fixed a couple of holes. And look, I do think that there's still value for Gio Bernard, but at the same time, this is going to be the year where they just start feeding it to Mixon in a significant way. So I think the touches, we talked a little bit yesterday about it. When we're talking about opportunities, he's going to see a ton of them. So he's not talked about quite as much. And right now I'm seeing where's Mixon going. He is right now overall like 23rd player off the board, and that's standard scoring. So let's go to the PPR since we're talking about our own PPR draft. Mixon is going same, 23rd overall. Didn't really impact him so much. So in that sense, I can see it. Last year he had 178 carries and 30 touches. And that was with him only playing in 14 games. So he was at 3.5 yards a carry. Terrible. But he caught nearly 10 yards a catch. So touchdowns, 4. So, look, conservatively, that's – I'm just gonna, doing the math right now. I got my calculator in my hands. Divided by 14. He had just under 15 touches a game. Bring that up to 18.
18, right.
That's 288 carries. That's 288 touches. So that was that's fairly conservative. I'm assuming he's playing a full season. I understand that.
Right.
But now we're talking with really out much of an increase at all. 300 touches. So you're getting a guy at the very end of the second round in a 12-team league. And he's got 300 touches under his belt. That's probably more than Christian McCaffrey, who I like a lot.
Absolutely.
So you start doing the math, there's your value.
Okay. So if we're staring at, I think, if we wanted to go running back, Mike, and we get the, we get the Fournette. Let's say we get Fournette at 8, or we luck out and get Kamara, right? On the way back, if we're staring at Dalvin Cook, Christian McCaffrey, Joe Mixon, but we also have the opportunity to get Devontae Adams, AJ Green, let's say. I'm going to lean towards CMC, I think. But I'm okay with Joe Mixon there. I'm okay with Joe Mixon there over, say, AJ Green. If we're staring at Joe Mixon or AJ Green, which Bengal would you rather have, Mike?
I mean, I like AJ Green better as a player, but we're just talking. Right. We just did the math. Like, if we're looking at a 300 touch running back, even if he's not terribly efficient, I mean, we could be looking.
There's not
at
many of those.
50 yards, 1250.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of
yards. If he's bad,
I've seen a couple of beat reporters that say he could lead the AFC in rushing. You know, he's right there to potentially lead the AFC in rushing. If we had a guy, let's say we had Mixon and Fournette, we could have 1-2 in the AFC in rushing yards.
We could. You know, last year he had 913 scrimmage yards, and it was a total
fit. Limited action. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's with some limited touches. We start doing the math that we did last time, like I just did, 300. I'll just use the 288 times 4.4, which he did last year. That's already 1,267 yards. That's if he's similarly inefficient with just the added touches that we would expect. So really.
Better offensive line.
Right. You know, the problem is Andy Dalton terrible? And do they are they going 3 and outs all the time? You know what I mean? That's where you're going to run into some problems. But they weren't good last year, and I think I've turned around on Mixon for a year just because of the reasons that we're talking about. There's at least an improvement in the offensive line. There's going to be an increase in touches. He's not going to carry the ball for 3.5 yards a carry again. So that's where you're at. Yeah, I get it. If you're talking AJ Green or Joe Mixon, the value play would tell you Mixon simply based on the touches, even though you can get him later. The problem is if we were to wait, we wouldn't get him. He'd be gone by the time that midway
in the third,
third round pick. So, all right, cool. So
he'll be gone.
That gives us some sense of what we're working on with the first couple of picks.
All right, I got some rules of thumb for Sunday.
It would seem like a reach to people to do mix in there. Again, we like McCaffrey more and other running backs more. But if we're
what about Dalvin Cook? If he's there, you like Cook?
I just got a lot of worries about a guy coming off
of
an injury.
I do too.
Like you and I have talked about before, it could be that he makes your team better come playoff time, but there's still questions about this offensive line. They might be
right. They got banged up in the preseason. That offensive line.
They might be more comfortable throwing the ball with two really good pass catchers and a good tight end, and maybe Cousins is better at getting the ball out quick. So Dalvin Cook has been going a little too early for my blood. That's just where I've been at. I don't think
you're comfortable with us grabbing Mixon at what would be something like 18 or 19 overall.
Yeah, I think it's I think it would be end up being 17. I think that's our pick there. Okay. So eight and 17. Right. Is that right? So whatever.
All right, and then we I'll hammer wideouts 3, 4, and 5.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly right. So we'll be good. I think we're going to win this whole thing. I don't think it's even a question.
Oh, we're definitely going to win this whole thing.
So, all right. So a couple more minutes to go. I was reading Evan Silva on rotoworld.com. I think you catch him on Twitter at Evan Silva. He's a guy I competed in leagues with. He's got tight end tiers for 2018. He's got the Gronk, Kelsey, Ertz thing as his first tight end tier. We talked about them many times. Then the whole bunch in his second tier,
right?
And that's Graham, Walker, Olsen, Engram, Kyle Rudolph, Trey Burton, Jordan Reed. And then the final tier, he's got,
Njoku, Seals Jones, maybe the Tampa guys,
exactly.
Eifert, Kittle.
Exactly. Austin Hooper.
And Scott Engel's guy, Austin Hooper. Yeah,
that's
buddy.
Right. Yeah, we did.
So, again, we've talked about this position a lot, but it struck me that he's got so many guys in that second tier, and it speaks to what I was talking about a little bit yesterday. At the end of the day, at the end of each week, the guys that are tight end ones are the guys that score a touchdown, and that could be Ricky Seals-Jones, and that could be Zach Ertz. But realistically, there are very few, and it's why those top three guys are in the top tier, that they're just getting the ball every week. Doesn't matter if they score 6 or 7 times a game, you're looking at it. Zach Ertz doesn't get in the end zone, you're still looking at 8 for 89, and it's a good day, especially in these PPR leagues. The other guys, as you slide down a little bit, like Trey Burton's not going to be a tight end one every week. I'll tell you that right now. It doesn't matter that they increase utilizing him. I don't expect him to explode on the scene like one of those top three guys. He's going to have to score touchdowns in order to make his value seen each and every week. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I agree. And real quick on that note, in that group, the guy I'm the lowest on is Evan Engram because there's so many more options that are healthy for the Giants this year.
Yeah, and he's shot up draft boards. So we'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more about that and get to some player props on FST.
Are you between the ages of 13 and 22 and love fantasy football? Then GM Genius is for you. GM Genius is the only fantasy football scholarship competition giving students a chance to play fantasy football and pay for your education. GM Genius won FSTA's Rookie of the Year Award in 2017 and has already awarded over $25,000 in scholarships. Go to GMGenius.com today and turn your fantasy football love into a scholarship.
Yeah, a little foo, getting the foo out on its Thursday. We got a game tonight, Browns-Eagles, fired up. Preseason week 3, as Dane was talking about earlier this morning, it's going to be a lot of dress rehearsals for teams all week. We got some really interesting games, too, but we're kicking it off tonight with Browns-Eagles. Tomorrow, we got a full slate of games. We got Pats, Panthers, Giants, Jets. For the locals in mine and Dane's area. That's right. Broncos at Washington. Seahawks at Vikings tomorrow. Lions at Bucks and Packers at Raiders. Saturday's got some really interesting ones, though, with Titans, Steelers, Niners, Colts. Got a couple of young quarterbacks on display there, or at least one is relatively young. Falcons,
both former
Jaguars,
Patriots with Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. Falcons, Jaguars. And Saints Chargers, I like that one a lot. And then 2 Sunday games, so you'll get some Sunday afternoon football with Bengals Bills, and then Cardinals Cowboys at night. But BetDSI is celebrating 20 years as the industry's biggest and safest betting site. They have great customer service and fast, easy payment of winnings. You can play virtually every sport at BetDSI with hundreds of wagering options, including live in-game wagering and all major sporting events, where you can make your play at any time during the game. So BetDSI runs sign-up and deposit promotions year-round. And for a limited time, using promo code FNTSY, BetDSI is offering up to $2,500 on your first deposit if you're willing to adhere to rollover requirements. So use promo code FNTSY and try BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com, promo code FNTSY. Head on over and start winning today. You know, yesterday I heard Craig Carton talking a little bit about rollover requirements, and just be mindful of that, that you they can offer up to $2,500 on your first deposit. So they're going to probably do some matching when it comes to that. And don't think that you're going to get in there, get some sort of bonus, and take it out. They're going to require you to bet a certain amount.
Bet $2,500 at least.
Yeah, you know, just make sure that you're aware of those rollover requirements before you join it. I don't want you to think that they're giving away. It's not a sweepstakes. It's a way to get you to play a little bit more and use the tool, and hopefully that becomes your place of choice for placing wagers. So let's talk about some of these player props that we were talking about. You said you had one for me, so why don't you throw that one out to me as I go through these other ones?
Sure. So I'm looking at these yards, right? And first thing that I do is I look at the yards from last year, okay? Tom Brady led the league with 4,577 passing yards, right? Mm-hmm. Him and Phillip Rivers were the only two to get over 4,500. Then Matthew Stafford, the only additional one, over 4,400. I'm looking at a guy where his over-under is 4,475 and a half yards, Blewett. And I think that, you know how we talk about name recognition as it related to, you know, Adrian Peterson, and we talk about name recognition as it relates to the Cleveland Browns maybe being, you know, deflated more than they should be. I think this is a guy who name recognition boosts up the over-under, and the team is evolving to be more of a running and defensive team, and there's a universe where old quarterbacks fall off the cliff. I'm talking about Drew Brees, Mike.
Yeah.
Drew Brees' over-under is 4,475. Last year, Brees was 4,300. Now, don't get me wrong. Out of, like, all of the 5,000-yard seasons in NFL history, I believe Drew Brees has half of them. But that was a different time and space for the Saints. They are trying to run the ball more. You know, he didn't hit that level last year. He missed it by over 100, 150 yards. And I think they just continue that evolution with the Saints this year. So I'm on the under for Drew Brees passing yards. And if you want, you could even use the prop builder tool and hike it up a little bit, maybe over 4,500. But I think this is a name recognition that's inflating this total, Mike. So I like the under on Brees.
So last year he was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, ninth in the league in pass attempts. I don't think that goes anywhere, but to your point, it only netted him 4,334 yards last year.
23 touchdowns to 8
interceptions. He also had two rushing touchdowns. He had 25 total touchdowns. Now,
he played in all 16 games.
Yeah. I looked at a Drew Brees prop bet on the weekend show, and that prop bet was 26.5 passing touchdowns, I believe. Now, I like that over, because there's a lot of data that suggests that his touchdown rate was oddly down last year. And even if he performs at the exact same level this year, he's likely to go over on the touchdowns. I think he just had a little bit of bad luck with the touchdowns. And obviously, Alvin Kamara broke some long runs and all that kind of stuff. So I think it's likely that he could go over on the touchdowns. But this is pretty interesting. This one is a little bit tougher for me, because you're looking at
the yards.
4,575
and a half. So 150 more than last year's total, than what he got last
year. Basically, based on last year's numbers, he'd have to lead the league in passing. Basically. You know,
right. That would finish. The 4,475 would be third in the NFL last year, behind Brady's 4,575 and behind Rivers' 4,515.
It'd be second, 45-75. So in any event, I
44-75, excuse me, 44-75.
Got it. That's not a huge increase, though, man. It's really not. But are you suggesting that his pass attempts will go down?
I'm suggesting that they are going to continue. I think they are going to try to continue the evolution that they had last year, relying more on the running game, especially to help out that defense. Yes, I think the evolution continues, And, you know, I'm also hold me to it. I don't think this is definitely going to happen, but there is a world out there where Drew Brees starts to regress. I mean, he's entering what, his age, like 38 season, I think it is. 40 season.
Yeah, 40.
So that's also, yeah. And that's part of why they want to run the ball a little bit more. That's part of all the, you know, so I think that's part of it as well. So I would take the under on his yards. I think the interesting also, look at his interception total at 12. I think that's an interesting one. You mentioned he only had 8 last year. But I think the Saints in general are evolving to a more run-heavy team. And I think people see the cachet of the name Drew Brees. And I think this number is a little bit inflated because of the name recognition as well. So I like the under.
They ran 1,000 offensive plays last year. That was only 20th in the league. Mm-hmm. So their play total was down
more
as well. Yeah. So
they're trying to not have these 3-and-outs to help the defensive side of the ball.
Now, the one thing I would put as a caveat there is that a team that seemed very run-heavy in the Jaguars actually ran the most plays in the entire league last year. And they also threw it as many times as they ran it. But they were controlling the ball a lot. Their defense was getting people off
the
field.
Their defense were forcing 3-and-outs, yeah.
Yeah, so they were grinding it out a lot. You know, does the play total stay down? Do you expect the defense to be a little bit better? They made an addition like Kurt Coleman at safety. They obviously drafted Marcus Davenport and are looking to invigorate that pass rush, but he's a rookie. So how much impact can a rookie pass rusher have? You know, maybe some, but he's not going to take the league by storm. That's unlikely. So that's a good one. If you pressed me, I'm going to have a hard time taking unders on Drew Brees. Like, I will take the touchdown over, but that's a good one. I think that's a tricky one. I would probably lay off it, to be honest, because I wouldn't want to bet the under there, but I don't have enough confidence to bet the over. So let's go to a different one. We got Matt Ryan, total passing yards. So in that same vein, Matty Ice, 41.75.5. So can he get to 41.76? Last year, Matt Ryan had 4,095 passing yards. As bad a year as people thought he had, he was 1, 2, 3, 4, fifth in the entire league in passing. And that was a pretty inefficient year. He had 20 touchdowns, 12 picks. So can Matty Ice have an uptick of what amounts to 81 yards from one season to the next? I'm going to tell you I'm in on this one. I'm over.
I'm also in on Matt Ryan. I think he has a bounce back. I think the critical thing here is it is year two, Mike, in the Steve Sarkisian system. And I think that last year they were doing a lot of, you know, kind of Sarkisian trying to run what was still there from Shanahan. I think that year two in the Sarkisian system is going to be better. I think Matt Ryan bounces back. Remember, they also drafted the kid Calvin Ridley to maybe help that wide receiver room. I would take the over on this. I have Matt Ryan as a big-time bounce-back candidate. I'm seeing him sometimes go as late as quarterback 16 or 17 in drafts. I think that's ridiculous. I think he can be yet another reason you wait on quarterback in your fantasy drafts. And yes, I do think Matt Ryan is good for 4,100 yards or more.
So two things on that. One, I have Matt Ryan potentially in a keeper league where I can keep him in the 9th round. But sure, the guy that had Brady to keep him in the 2nd just threw Brady back into the pool. And I'm using that as a barometer. I'm using that as a barometer of how valued quarterbacks are in this keeper league.
Right.
And it has varied from year to year, so it's a little tougher for me to get a read on because I've been in this league for probably 5-6 years. So despite the fact that my team is named after him, I think when this deadline hits in about 2 hours, I'm throwing Matty Ice back into the pool, and I'll kind of take my chances to get him again, only because, as you said, he's like the 15th QB off the board. I might be able to get Matt Ryan in double-digit rounds again.
Yeah, in my situation, I have to declare my keepers this weekend as well, you know, and I'm in a super flex league, right? So I can use the quarterback, so they're maybe a little bit more valuable. I'm releasing Matty Ryan back out into the wild as well. I am, however, last year I drafted Patty Mahomes in the 13th round. Last year in this kind of keeper
setting
or
whatever. What's the round
penalty? So I'm riding out with him as one of them, and then I got to see what I want to do with quarterback, if I want to get another top guy or if I want to ride out, you know, and kind of wait for some of these guys that we're talking about. But I'm happy with Mahomes as value in round 13.
I'm going to do one more before we got to get out of here for Carton and Friends.
All right.
Odell Beckham.
Ooh.
1,200 and a half receiving yards.
So, I love Odell Beckham, right? I think he's a dynamic playmaker.
You're already
he's awesome. You're right, but I'm taking the under on this one, and here's why. Two reasons. One, there's a lot of mouths to feed all of a sudden in New York, right? Between Sterling Shepard and Ingram and Barkley going to get his, so that gives me some concern. And the other thing is we've seen Odell Beckham miss a lot of weeks because of injury or even, you know, suspension, what have you. So he needs to play 16 games to hit that over, and I have some concerns about that.
Only six guys hit it last year. Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, Keenan Allen, DeAndre Hopkins, Adam Thielen, Michael Thomas. All six of those guys hit it last year, and that was in a year that was fairly low for 1,000-yard wide receivers. Only another 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 guys hit that. So 13 guys overall hit 1,000 yards. Only six hit the 1,200 yards. Odell would have to have a very productive year for that to happen. I think that one's close. I think he could have a good year. A really good year, and still not be at 1,200 yards, right, Dane?
Exactly. That's what that's actually what I would expect.
Okay, so we're going to recap Browns-Eagles tomorrow, tell you what we saw there, and I'm going to tell you who my keepers were in this league, and Dane will tell you who his keepers are in his league. So it's Mike and Dane. We're out for FSD. Thanks for listening. Talk to you tomorrow.